On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us this morning. You know, on Friday, we introduced you to Summer Britcher, the Baltimore-born luge athlete who competes today at the Winter Olympics in Sochi. She begins competing within about the next hour. Now, Miss Britcher isn't the only Marylander involved in a big winter sporting event these days. Jen Ryder, a third-grade teacher at the Gilman School in North Baltimore, will be heading to Anchorage, Alaska on Friday to participate in the 2014 Iditarod, the nearly 1,000-mile race through the Alaskan wilderness from Anchorage to Nome. She won't be one of the mushers, but rather she has been chosen to be this year's teacher on the trail. And Jen Ryder joins me in the studio to tell us what that will entail. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome and congratulations on being chosen this year's teacher on the trail.
Thank you very much.
Pretty exciting. So as I understand it, you're going to spend a little bit of time on a sled at the very beginning. About how long and with whom are you going to be sledding?
So I will get to travel the first 11 miles by sled with a musher named Nathan Schroeder, who is from Minnesota and is currently the reigning John Bear Grease champion. So he's won that race for the last 3 years. And it's a part of the ceremonial
start.
That's
another dog sled race.
Yeah.
We should say the Iditarod is one of many that they have,
but it's
the biggest one.
It's the biggest, the longest. The ceremonial start in Anchorage on the first day is kind of just a big celebration. And so each musher gets to take a rider in the sled for the first part of the race.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, when they restart on Sunday, it's the real deal. And it's just them and their dogs for the rest of the 1,049 miles across the state.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to follow it in increments in a plane?
Yeah. So I will go by bush plane from checkpoint to checkpoint. And my goal is while I'm out there on the trail that I'll be able to Skype with schools around the country and around the world and share with them what's happening in the checkpoints and maybe introduce them to some mushers and show them some dogs and kind of just bring the race and the checkpoints to life for them back in their home schools.
Yeah. So now what do you think makes the Iditarod as an event a great teachable moment for kids literally around the world, not just your classroom at Gilman, but
right. So I teach all boys, so it's a natural fit for them. You know, you've got the dogs, you've got the adventure, you've got the wilderness, the Alaska connection. So they're totally into it. But it's a really neat character development lesson too, because most of the mushers don't enter the race with the hopes of winning. They run to see if they can challenge themselves and challenge their dogs and have this grand adventure and see if they can do it. So it's a really good character lesson for pushing yourself to do things that maybe are slightly outside of your comfort zone, but finding the passion to do that. And there's so much that we can do with math and geography and all kinds of things. So my kids are building dog sled pens, and they're designing harnesses using angles, and they're doing all this math under the guise of the Iditarod. And some of them don't even realize the math that they're learning. They just think they're having fun with the Iditarod, and yet all of a sudden they've learned area and perimeter, and they've learned making change and elapsed time and all this stuff because they're analyzing race data and are kind of being tricked into learning all this math.
So you're sneaking it by them.
I'm trying, yeah.
And are they totally, I mean, these are a bunch of kids from Maryland. You know, we get a little bit of snow this year, you know, not all that much, actually. As cold as it's been, however, I'm sure they could relate to that part of the Iditarod experience.
Yeah, so we've actually been tracking the temperatures, and actually the Alaskan lines have dropped below the Baltimore temperature line for the last few weeks. So that's pretty interesting to them. Yeah, we've had the chance to Skype with some mushers, so they've met some mushers, and we actually are sponsoring a rookie musher named Monica Zappa. So they have a lot of personal tie-ins to it, even being so far away. And they're just thrilled. They just think it's the coolest thing.
Jen Ryder is a teacher at the Gilman School. She's this year's teacher on the trail at the 2014 Iditarod in Alaska. It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast on 88.1. I'm Tom Hall. The locals, you have been to an Iditarod, I take
yes.
it,
mm-hmm.
back in 2012.
Yep, I've gone for the last 2 years.
Yeah. So what was your experience there as a spectator and as a person on the sidelines?
Well, it's an amazing event, and it kind of draws so many people in. You know, there's over 1,500 people who volunteer to help with the race, and so it's really a huge community event, and it's a moving community event, so you get lots of people from Anchorage, and then you've got all the native villages along the trail who are hosting checkpoints and hosting mushers in their homes and that kind of thing. And then, of course, you've got Nome at the end. So it's really a kind of a movable, you know, celebration of the state of Alaska and its heritage and dog sledding and mushing. And it's, you know, they're so warm and welcome. And the athletes are, too. It's you know, they're the rock stars in Alaska, but they're so down to earth, and they, you know, up to minutes before they're leaving on the race are shaking hands and letting people pet their dogs. And it's just a big, you know, very warm and welcome welcoming kind of environment.
Now, have you trained as a musher yourself?
Well, my friend Ellen Rizzuto and I, who she's another teacher at Gilman, we actually went to dog mushing school in Minnesota 2 years ago. So that was kind of cool. And we had a team of five dogs. And so we actually have learned some. And then there's actually a dog sled kennel in Western Maryland. And I went up there and I actually ran a team of 12 dogs. So I didn't quite have a whole team of dogs, but I did get a chance to do it. So it's an amazing thing. It's, you know, the dogs are definitely the athletes, but the mushers aren't just hanging on. You know, they're running and pushing the sled and you know, it's a big workout for the mushers as well.
Yeah. So what makes a good musher? I mean, the people who do win these things, what's their key to success?
Well, it's different. And it's kind of fascinating because in the last 2 years, we've had the youngest winner ever and we've had the oldest winner ever. And they actually happen to be father and son. So there's lots of different strategies. You know, I think they definitely have a passion for what they're doing. They have a passion for their dogs. They take excellent care of their dogs, sometimes better care of their dogs than they do of themselves. And so it's a real partnership that they're working together. You know, they can survive on no sleep and, you know, very irregular meals and that kind of a thing. But I would say that the ability to work with the dogs as a team is really what separates the great mushers from the ones who are just starting out.
And the people who are actually on the sled, they're the ones who are training the dogs, taking care of the dogs. It's not like these mushers have separate trainers or coaches or anything. They're relating directly to the dogs on their team.
Yeah, so for the most part, the mushers pull the dogs. They have their own kennel, so they have their own set of dogs. They have handlers who help, but one of the rules on the Iditarod that makes it different from a lot of sled dog races is you can't have help. So your handlers can't come and meet you at the checkpoint and take over dog care. The mushers are responsible for all of it. And so they're really...
So they're feeding the dogs and making sure that they're rested and stuff.
Yeah, and taking care.
And there are mandatory places where the mushers and the dogs have to stop, right?
Yeah, so they have to check in at every checkpoint. There's like 24 checkpoints on the trail, and the dogs at every checkpoint get checked by a veterinarian just to ensure everybody's safety. And then they are required, they have to take a 24-hour rest in a checkpoint, and they have to take two 8-hour rests in a checkpoint. But other than that, they're camping on the trail, and some of them choose to stay in checkpoints, and some of them choose not to because the checkpoints are usually really crowded and busy, so the dogs don't sleep as well as they can if you can pull over on the trail and camp out and get a better rest. So.
But it's not unusual for some of these mushers to stay awake for 24 hours in a row.
Yeah.
And the dogs stay awake and running the whole time.
Well, usually they do a run-rest cycle. So they'll usually like run for 4 hours and then rest the dogs for 4 hours. And you know the mushers aren't necessarily resting because they're feeding the dogs and caring for the dogs. But they do alternate, you know, on and off and on and off. If you ran the dogs, you know, without resting, it wouldn't be a successful strategy.
Because some dogs do drop out in the course of
the
race.
They can. So if you have a dog who's injured or a dog who is ill or maybe the dog just doesn't feel like running anymore, they can be taken out of the race and they call it dropping them. And I always tell the kids, it doesn't sound as bad as it sounds, but they're left at a checkpoint and a veterinarian and the volunteers take care of the dog and then the dogs get shipped you know, either one way or the other, depending on how close they are to the start or the end, and meet back up with the mushers at the end of the race.
And in fact, there are penalties given to people who don't properly care for the dogs, right?
Absolutely.
So there are rules. The dogs have to be healthy, so we're not abusing animals.
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah. I mean, this is what these dogs are born to do. You know, it's unbelievable. You hook the dogs up before a run, and they're yelling and screaming and jumping over each other in excitement. They can't wait to go. And then as soon as the snow hook is pulled and they're off down the trail, it's silence. And they just put their heads down and run. It's what they love to do. And it's really funny because you'll read a lot of accounts where the mushers pull into the checkpoints to stop and to rest, and the dogs are barking and slamming in their harnesses and want to keep going. They don't want to rest, but the mushers know that they need to for their health and safety. You know.
And how many dogs, generally speaking, per team?
So they can start with 16 is the most dogs that they can start with. And most will start with 16, sometimes 14. And then they will finish up with a little bit fewer than that. And sometimes it's strategic. Sometimes they put their really strong, heavy dogs on the team to get over the rough parts of the trail. And then when things ease up a little bit, they might take dogs off and finish up with their fastest dogs. But it's a lot of dogs. I always tell the kids that's a good math problem. If there's 71 mushers signed up this year and they each have 16 dogs, how many dogs is that?
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are, as you say, 71 mushers and many of them women. In fact, women have won this race on numerous occasions. There's a woman named Susan Butcher who won 4 times in the late 80s and the early 90s. So this is a race that attracts everybody.
It is. That's one of the things that makes it unique. Is that there's not a separate women's division and men's division. They compete equally, and age doesn't really matter either. So, like I said, we've had the youngest winner and the oldest winner in the last couple of years. So, it's really a race for everybody, and there's not very many sports that are like that. And so that's kind of a neat thing, especially for, you know, kids who are so competitive and so into athletics and, you know, these powerhouse athletes, that to realize that, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be so competitive that nobody can participate, that it's kind of cool to have a race where everybody has equal footing. And actually, the person who's come in second for the last 2 years is a woman named Ali Zirkle. So everybody's kind of crossing their fingers that this will be the year that we have another woman runner.
Yeah. I mean, it's an endurance test. You've got to fight the elements. It's incredibly cold and it's incredibly lonely. I mean, in between checkpoints, they are literally out in the middle of nowhere. You know, the northern lights are up and it's, but it can be very lonely. When you talk to mushers, I mean, how do they tell you that they get through those kinds of long expanses of, you know, snow?
Yeah, there's a lot, you know, a lot of music on your iPod and that kind of a thing. Some of the mushers like it better that way. I think that secretly a lot of the mushers are, you know, loners and they prefer to be out on the trail by themselves. But you do get stories of hallucinations and those kind of things. So it's definitely challenging not only physically but mentally as well.
Now you mentioned these mushers, you know, are camping, you know, in the middle of this, you know, these barren landscapes and stuff. How about you? What are your creature comforts going to be like?
Well, that is a good question and one that my boys have asked me many times. But I will be at checkpoints and so the checkpoints vary from village to village. It could be that it's in the neighborhood school. It could be that the checkpoint's a community center. It could be that it's a tent. It really kind of depends on where we are. So I do have a sleeping bag that's rated for minus 30 degrees, and Iditarod's provided me with lots of warm weather gear, so should be okay.
Did you camp out in the backyard of your house in Maryland when we had the polar vortex?
No, but training? I should have. That would have been a really good idea. I wish you had told me that then.
So what kinds of things do you think you'll be doing? What will your approach as a teacher and educator be while you're up there?
So what I've been doing so far is I've been writing lots of curriculum, and I am posting it on a website. And while I'm there, my job is to blog for kids. So I have a website, which is the itcteacheronthetrail.com, and so that the kids can, you know, check in and see where I am and what I'm doing. And then hopefully the Skypes as well. So, but really while I'm out there, I'm a volunteer, so I'll pretty much do whatever they need to do. And I told the kids that last year's teacher, the job she seemed to end up with a lot was collecting the urine from the dog, so they have to have the urine sample. So they all kind of think that's gross, but if I have to do it, I have to do it.
There you go. And the winner of this race will complete this in 8-10 days,
something
like
that? Yeah,
it's
usually about 9 days is seems to be the average lately. It's going to be interesting to see this year because the weather's so bad. It's the warmest weather they've ever had in Alaska, so there's lots
of
concerns.
Are there going to be spots where there isn't any snow?
Yeah, and so that's
a
concern.
Can they drag a sled?
They can, yeah. The sleds have plastic runners on the bottom that they can change out for different terrains. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But 9 days is usually the fastest time. And then the last place person, the Red Lantern winner, usually takes about 12 days, 13 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, we look forward to reading your blog and following the progress of the race online. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Way up north to Alaska. Way up north.
Jen Ryder is the 2014 Teacher on the Trail at the Iditarod from Anchorage to Nome, Alaska. She'll be Skyping with her own classroom as well as classrooms around the world and developing curriculum for teachers worldwide based on her experience at and around the Great Race. We've got a link to her Iditarod postings. We'll have it on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. On 88.1, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for being with us. Have a great day. Just a little southeast of Nome, Sam crossed the majestic mountains to the valleys far below. He talked to his team of huskies as he mushed on through the snow. With the northern lights a-running wild in the land of the midnight sun. Yes, Sam McCord was a mighty man in the year of 1901. Where the river is winding, big nuggets they're finding. North to Alaska, I go north, the rush is on. Way up north, way up north. North to Alaska, I go north, the rush is on. North to Alaska, I go north, the rush is on. George turned to Sam with his gold in his hand. Said, Sam, you're